The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Turn with me now to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 1. The book of Mark, chapter 1. Amen. If you are physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would please do so. Please, ma'am, and please, sir, those of you who are here in the sanctuary, and to those of you who are online, we stand for the reading in honor of the reading of the word. Amen. Mark chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 12 and 13. Amen. But as I always say, I want to encourage each and every one of you to keep your Bibles open, because I'll definitely be making reference to some verses in this particular passage. I'll also be making some cross references in scriptures in support of the message. And so you want to make sure to keep your Bibles open or your apps open. And you also want to make sure you have something in order to take a note down. I just declare that something might just be said or done that will prick your hearts or your minds, and you want to have that to be able to capture that thought. Remember what Revelation chapter 3, 22 says. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen. But not only do you want to take that note down for yourself, you want to be able to do what Psalm 107:2 says. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord," what? Come on, somebody. I got some Bible readers in the house. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So if you hear the Holy Spirit speaking directly to your heart, you ought to be able to say something, whether it's an amen, a hallelujah, a thank you, Jesus, amen. Because that's what the scriptures say. I don't preach for amens, but I do preach according to the word of God. Amen. And those of you who are online, you can do the same thing. You can connect with somebody, let them know that the Lord is speaking directly to your heart, whether it's an amen, praise the Lord. You can even use emotions online. Amen, amen, and amen. Mark chapter 1, it's from which the word of God will come. Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." Now again, the scripture says, "Immediately the Spirit drove him," it's talking about Jesus, "into the wilderness, and he," Jesus, "was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." So on this fourth Sunday of August, August the 23rd, as we continue to press our way through this trying year, for somebody, it feels like you are in the wilderness right now. Come on, somebody. I need some honest Christians in the house. So with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, what we can learn in the wilderness. What we can learn in the wilderness. Before you take your seats, we want to be able to say a prayer of consecration, a prayer that will get us all on one accord and in the same spirit. Amen. Pray this prayer, repeat it after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. What we can learn in the wilderness. My brothers and my sisters, the historical context of this passage is that Jesus is almost ready to begin his public ministry. But first, he must go through some things as part of his final preparation. He had to identify himself with sinful humanity at the outset of his ministry, and he did this by submitting to baptism, as noted in the previous verses 9 through 11, but then he had to face temptation. Now, I want you to do something. If you're taking notes, to write this down or consider this. This account is actually found also in the book of Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, as well as in Luke chapter 4, 1 through 13. But there's something I want you to take note. I want you to notice here that Mark's gospel of this account does not list any specific temptations that you'll find listed in the gospels of Matthew chapter 4 or in Luke chapter 4. Can I preach the text? You see, when you look at Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, you'll find that there's some list of temptations that the devil went about trying to get trying to trip up Jesus. But then when I looked at Mark, I thought about perhaps, Brother Mallory, that perhaps Mark did not list any specific temptations. Why? Because each of us face slightly different temptations. So somebody might be asking, what is a temptation? Well, in a general sense, hear me today, a temptation is a person, it might be a place or thing, watch this, that attracts, entices, or lures someone to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. But a temptation in a biblical sense, hear me today, in a biblical sense, the word temptation primarily denotes a trial in which a person has a free choice of being faithful or unfaithful to God. Come on, somebody. So I'll say it again. Yeah, because some people do it. They'll begin to read a particular text, and they'll begin to check off like the rich young ruler. They'll say, nope, that's not my temptation. Nope, that's not my temptation. That's why the Holy Spirit led me to mark here, because again, in the Gospels of Matthew 4 and Luke 4, it lists specific temptations that Jesus faced. But for you and I, come on, somebody, your temptation might not be your neighbor's temptation. Your trial might not be like my trial, but I guarantee all of us are tried and all of us are tempted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You might not want to list it, but there is possibly a person, place, or thing that's luring you in. Come on, somebody. There might be a trial that you are facing right now. The fact of the matter is, this debunks that whole theory that too many folk are saying, the devil made me do it. Come on, somebody. No, the fact of the matter is, all of us have a choice. And you can choose whether you want to be faithful or unfaithful to God. So there were three things that the Holy Spirit gave me when he led me to this account, this specific account here in Mark, of the temptation that I wish to share with each and every one of you today. As a matter of fact, I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who you are and where you are. I don't know if you're here in the sanctuary. I don't know if you're online, but guess what? I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you, and I want to speak into your heart, your mind, and your spirit, because right now you feel like you are in the wilderness or having a desert experience right now. The first thing that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to me and through me to us is that, number one, we have to realize or recognize our time in the wilderness. Watch the text. It says, immediately after Jesus was baptized by John, and he heard God's voice from heaven in verse 11, it says, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But it was immediately after he heard that things began to change for him. Because the Bible says, watch the text, the Bible says that he was led of the Spirit, big S, into the wilderness. Now, Mark does not describe how Jesus felt about it. But let's just look at the text. What you can discern from the text is that Jesus was going from a very positive experience to an undesirable wilderness. And the truth is, A wilderness is not any place any of us will want or seek to be. This wilderness was a place where Jesus found himself alone. What I mean is his friends nor his disciples were there. He had no support group to encourage him. Now, although he is God in the flesh, in his humanity, I couldn't help but wonder if in his mind he began to think, what do I do next? Where do I go? How do I handle this circumstance or this situation? Now, here's another note when you look at, when you cross-reference the story. In Mark chapter 4, or in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, and Luke chapter 4, 1 through 13, I want to show you something else. Mark is the only writer who says that he was alone except for the wild beasts or the wild animals. Can I preach in this house? In other words, he was in this environment, and he was in an environment surrounded by danger. Now watch the text for a person who is out there feeling alone. Somebody, even in the, now it says 40 days, but also night. So for somebody out in the wilderness feeling alone, and especially at night, keeping it in the context, it's a time where he could have literally been torn apart by the wild animals or the wild beast, as the New King James Version translates it. Now, there are many thoughts that we can apply here to our own lives from this experience of Jesus, because we also have wilderness experiences where we feel alone, where we feel like we are wandering around without knowing what to do, where we feel like we don't know where to go or where to turn. And I know for a fact that everybody feels some of that, especially now in the midst of this pandemic. But the things that we have to recognize, however, is that we are surrounded by many dangers, and we are surrounded by many temptations that are every bit, if not more, threatening to us than even this pandemic. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that your adversary, come on somebody, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wanted to tempt Jesus right there in his wilderness in order to try and destroy his work and to cancel his mission on earth. Fact of the matter is that Satan did not want Jesus to accomplish the mission that he was set out to do. He wanted to sidetrack him, or he had a perfect opportunity to try to do so when he was alone in the wilderness. I'm talking to somebody, because you need to know that that same devil, come on somebody, that same devil, Satan, also wants to sidetrack all of us from accomplishing our calling for God. He can sidetrack you, and sometimes the way he does it is subtly. We live in a world full of many dangers, not only full of crime and violence, sickness, and diseases of all kinds, yes, including this current pandemic in the form of the coronavirus, but there are also some subtle attacks that the devil has on our faith. It seems that more and more, especially these days, I'm running into people who are succumbing to these dangerous, subtle attacks on our faith. First of all, by being led away from the church. And I'm talking about being led away from more than just the church building. I'm talking about being led away from scriptures, being led away from truth, being led away from doctrine, amen. And when those kind of things begin to become subtle and begin to tempt you, come on somebody, which what happens then is it leads to a greater tolerance for questionable things. Things that we know that aren't right. Things that we know that aren't good for us. Amen. Remember what we said about temptation. In a general sense, it's a person, place, or thing that attracts, entices, or lures someone to do something, and generally that something is something wrong or unwise. But also in a biblical sense, the word temptation primarily denotes a trial in which a person has free choice or free will of being faithful or unfaithful to God. Watch the text. Watch the text. Because again, Jesus was alone in the wilderness. He had no support group. He had no one giving him any advice. And when things began to hit him adversely, he could have understandably wondered, has God or has my Father abandoned me? I mean, I thought he was pleased with me. Does he not love me anymore? I mean, remember what God had just said in the previous verse, 11. Thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So here's what the Holy Spirit revealed to me and for us in life application to share with somebody who is going through their wilderness or their desert experience right now. And that is, you need to hear and believe God's word to us. Sometimes there are going to be periods of silence when we don't feel God's presence and when we don't hear God's voice. But what I mean by that is that too often, too many times, we seek God's presence and we seek God's voice for reassurance. We seek it for reassurance that he really does love us, that he really does care about me. But the fact of the matter is this. All we need to do is to hold fast to God's promises and to the scriptures and not allow Satan to tempt us into actually thinking or even believing that God has abandoned us, that he does not care, and he doesn't love us. Listen, when God gives you a promise, you hang on to that promise. You don't need to be reassured all the time. Come on, somebody. Psalm 119:89, the King James Version says this, "Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven." Now listen, I know we love little church talk, so we love to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, let me break this to you, somebody. Whether you believe it or not, God said it, and that settles it. Period. Now, it is up to you to believe what God said, but whether you believe it or not does not second guess the fact that it's settled because God said it. First thing we need to do is realize or recognize our time in the wilderness. The second thing from this text here in Mark chapter 1 is that we have to examine the darkness of your life. You're going to have to examine the darkness of your life. Watch the text. Jesus had to be alert to the dangers surrounding him as he walked around in his wilderness. He had to be aware of what was lurking around. Come on, somebody. You do know that folk and stuff lurks around. Come on. He had to be aware of some stuff that was lurking around, maybe in the bushes, ready to pounce on him unexpectedly. Now, I recognize that we get more and more people who are tuning in online, a few others who are here. And I know we always run into some thinkers. And I got somebody thinking right now saying, well, Pastor King, I hear you, and I'm following you. Amen. But you got to understand, I mean, it sounds good, but we can't do all that. What I mean is we don't have any control over the circumstances of our life. Amen. And so I understand that, especially when you think about this pandemic. This pandemic that we're facing, none of which is under our control, especially much of the fallout that's happening as a result. But while you're listening to your own mind and intellect, and I hear what you're saying, I've even thought it sometimes too. But hear what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 in the Amplified. It says, it helps us with that kind of mindset and attitude about what we're facing. And not just the coronavirus. There's a whole lot of stuff we were facing long before this came around. This just added to the problem. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 in the Amplified says this, but resist him, talking about the devil, but resist him, be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering, watch this, are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You don't suffer alone. So with everything you have going on in your life, have you allowed your faith to be devoured in certain areas? Have we allowed the things of the world to subtly tear us apart to where we no longer know what or who to believe? Have we become a Christian in name only? Has our Bible become lost somewhere in a stack of papers? As part of your examination in your wilderness, ask yourself a few of these questions. Where are the places I'm losing the battle? What are the things that are constantly attacking me? Addictive habits, procrastination, pride, conflicts, anxieties, etc. What are the worries that are eating away at my joy, my peace of mind, my confidence, my belief, my hope? And what is trying to come against me, to tear into me and maybe tear my household apart? Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, we need to be able to identify those things in our individual lives. See, it's easy for us to try to point out stuff in somebody else's life. It's easy for us to think we're going to give advice to somebody else about their life, but the Bible says, examine yourself. Test and evaluate yourself. And we need to identify those things in our own lives that might be holding us down or holding us back. Yeah. Mark does not point out anything specific. Because the teaching here is he doesn't want us to get too comfortable with a checklist. The fact is, all of us have something. All of us have someone. All of us have what I would call what's been called an Achilles heel. And while the devil can't predict your future or predict what you're going to do, he's got a file on every one of us. He knows what he tried before, and it may have worked in the past, and so guess what? He's going to try it again. Now, you need to be able to say, no, I recognize that devil. I identify that. What happened the last time is not going to work this time. But the Bible never says the devil going to give up. He may say, I'm with you this time. Because the devil is just like you. He waiting on your what? Next time. Come on, somebody. Yeah, Mark doesn't point out specific things. Maybe it's because there are all kinds of, watch this, using the word in the text, wild animals trying to to get to us, to endanger us on our spiritual journey. Let me ask this, I'm going to move on to my last point. What are your wild animals that need to be tamed in your life? Okay, I'm about to move on. Realizing and recognizing your time in the wilderness, examining the darkness in your life. The last point I want to make is this: reclaiming God's call on your life. You may say, yes, Jesus was successful. He didn't give in, but that's because he's Jesus. And yes, once again, ma'am and sir, I clearly understand that. But don't miss the point. Don't miss the teaching. Jesus still, in his humanity, had an opportunity to make a choice just like we do. As a matter of fact, Jesus made a choice. He could have made a different choice, never going and fulfilling his mission to bring salvation to mankind. He could have checked out when the going was getting rough, when the going was tough. We know he could have made other plans when he felt alone and when he felt abandoned. He could have called 10,000 angels, come on somebody, to get him down on the cross. He could have, maybe you and I would have, but he didn't. So my charge to the army of God by the aid of the Holy Spirit is that once you have identified those things which so easily tempt you and drag you down to failure, reclaim God's call on your life. So as I get ready to close, sometimes the Holy Spirit will send you into a desert experience. But let me say this to you, whoever you might be. The purpose of this hard time is not punishment. The purpose of this hard time is purity. God wants to purify your faith and grow your dependence more on him. I don't know why he chooses to do it that way, but I'm finding out that every now and then God would do more stripping away than he does adding to. Because sometimes I think God is saying, I've blessed you with the gifts and the talents and the abilities I've given you, but you've gotten so dependent on those things, you've forgotten about the gift giver. So we pray to God for gifts and things, thinking that's going to make us whole. He says, no, it's me who is the only one who can make you whole. Yeah, heaven may be silent during your time of stress and distress, but hear me today, I'm talking to somebody. Even in those periods when heaven might be silent in your stress and distress, be careful, hear me. Be careful not to make any rash or emotional decisions during your desert time. Times of trial are full of temptation from Satan. For he's going to appeal to things like your pride, your physical appetite, your spiritual vulnerability. He will always work to bring you down, to bring me down when we are at our weakest. He sees you alone. And just like a shark, he smells blood in the water. And he's ready to strike now and kill. But you need to know that the blood that Satan smells for your demise is your salvation. Because for the child of God, the blood he smells is the blood of Jesus. For those of us who are covered by the blood, we know that during these crises in our life, that Christ has us covered. So stay immersed in the Word of God, because His Word is your anchor in these troubling times. Feed your soul with Scripture, and you will have strength to make it through this turmoil. What is meant to drive you away from God ultimately will draw you closer. The Holy Spirit knows better than you what you need to become more like Jesus in your faith and in your deeds. Yes, for you or whoever you are, wherever you might be, yes, you are in your desert experience, but this desert experience will pass. What you need to do, what I need to do, what we need to do is don't waste the pain and discomfort, but use it. Use it for what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. So you use this time of despair to go deep with the divine. And what you can do is turn the tables around, but you turn the tables around not with your anger and disgust. You turn the tables around with trust. Trust in the God who can never fail. For your faithfulness will inspire some others, guess what, to even remain faithful to the Most High God. What we can learn in the wilderness. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Amen, amen, amen. As the word continues to resonate, as the seed has now been sown into your hearts and into your spirits, allow now the Holy Spirit to permeate and to water that, to nurture that in your heart. As we are moved by song to declare that God is faithful.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.